No, it's unusual.
Admin and county soup and county people and all of our employees and friends of Wheatland and community members, thank you for attending tonight. We're going to start with reports and communications from our superintendent.
Okay, so I have a few things. First of all, a couple of sad things to mention. I would like to ask the board to take a moment of silence for the loss of Raymond Johnson. Raymond is the brother of board member Waltz, who has resided in this community for 54 years. He's been battling health issues for many years, but he finally lost the battle. He was the owner of J&W Auto Services here in Wheatland for 36 years. He will be missed in his family and this community. There will be a celebration of life on February 6th at 1 o'clock at the Wheatland Community Center. Also, please, during the moment of silence, can we honor Congressman Doug LaMaffa? His services will be held on Saturday, January 24th at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico. Doug was a longtime advocate for our area and especially for agriculture and forestry. Doug's firm belief and what made him different than most politicians was that he believed that government should do no harm and that limited government should only be there to do what the people cannot do for themselves in an efficient manner, as efficient manner possible. He will be missed by many and by the communities he served. So if we could take a moment of silence. Thank you. I'm kind of tired of reporting deaths in our community, so let's stop, please. Monday is a holiday in the remembrance of Martin Luther King Jr. And then the February break is February 9th through the 16th. The district office will be open during the February break, except for the two holidays that fall within that week, which is Lincoln's birthday on the 12th and President's Day on the 16th. Our next board meeting is February 19th at 5 o'clock. Some good news, the City Council approved the installation of a four-way stop sign at the intersection of Wheatland Road and Oakley Lane. They have received an increasing number of complaints about near misses at that intersection. Their hope is to have the signs up by next week, weather permitting. There will be a temporary signage warning people of the new stop signs to give drivers time to adjust to the change. This is good for our community and good for our kids that walk that way and the high school kids. More good news, we have had a few teachers from different sites go after small classroom grants that became available, not through us, but through outside agencies, and have been able to purchase items for their classrooms and their students. Also, it appears that the Wheatland L PTC is using some of their funding to get items for Wheatland L, like a new laminating machine, and giving each teacher $150 for items in their classroom. These are all great things that help our students, and the costs are coming from other sources than the district. So, good for all of them. And really appreciate our teachers looking for outside things to help in their classrooms. I'll move on to attendance. At the time of the agenda, we had 1,362 students. It's 6 less than we had this time last year and 7 less than last month. We had 72 students currently enrolled in the preschool program, which is 28 less than we had last year and exactly the same as last month. Remember, I talk about this at every meeting. We expected to have quite a few less preschoolers. We cut staff accordingly, and it's because TK age got younger, and so they're going to TK, and since we have a full-day TK program, it works well for many parents. So we have a total of 1,434 with all groups, and that's 34 less than we had last year at this time. Most of those are preschoolers, and 7 less than last month. So we can move on to the next one.
Please,
based on now the first interim budget that was approved last month. Every time that we work in fiscal services, we make sure that we keep our core values in mind. And one of them is fiscal responsibility. So I want to make sure that I provide everything and that to let you know that my door and the district office is always open. If you have questions, I love questions because it makes me prepare better for the following meeting. Budget timeline. Last time we reviewed, we were here December 16th, and now we are entering our February 31st. And this is when usually the audited actuals are prepared, the audit report is prepared, and we bring it to you, and also when the governor's budget proposal it happens this month as well. Year-to-date reports, as usual, I'm presenting four of our funds, those that have activity on a monthly basis, and I'm going to start with General Fund 01. Again, this is to be transparent and show you where we are at now at this point in time. The revised budget column is where I want you to focus. Also, the activity today and the balances column. And as I explained before, the revised budget is the first interim budget that was approved. The top part, all the 8,000s here, zip codes are your revenues, and 1 through 7999 are our expenditures. So again, just to give you where we're at this point in time, with the revenue coming in and the expenditures going out, these are salaries and benefits. And I want to also let you know that this is a combined restricted and unrestricted. So they're combined on the budget side. If you have any questions or would like additional information on what the restricted side of the budget looks like or versus the unrestricted, you let me know. And I'll be happy to give you that. But this, there's a lot of movement, a lot of activity, a lot of salaries, and this salary would be here through December 31st. January salary has been posted, but the encumbrance part is what's capturing the next 6 or 5 months of salary. But whenever you see available balances or negative balances, where I'm reviewing those with HR and just ensuring that we're capturing the right salaries and the right budget lines. If not, we get to move and shift some of the available balances. For example, just to give you an idea, we talked about salaries, how I updated them since adopted budget. Adopted budget, just to give you an idea, this is the classified salary, this is the certificated salary. We were at 9.4 million back in April, in May and June when you adopted the budget. But with the revisions, we're at 9.9. And then everything else has been adjusted. Expenditure count and encumbrances. And right now, even though you'll see some negatives and some positives, the net result is a positive, 56,000. That's just how I would like you to look at these budgets and funds, so you get an idea. Same thing with the classified and the certificated benefits, the 3,000 accounts. Okay, this is still Fund 01, the general fund. This is where most of the activity happens. And the 5,000 are travel and services, professional development, and some contracted services. Again, because we have to budget for some of those restricted grants, that if you receive the money and we are saying we're going to spend it, we have to show a net zero. Receive revenue and expanding the revenue, a projection. You'll see a huge amount as available in professional services. It's because of the restricted side of the budget. This is the Charter Fund 09. That's on slide 8. The same thing. It shows you how much revenue we have received to date, what is still ready to available to come in, the salaries and benefits and all the rest of the activity. It also shows that under encumbrance, cover encumbrances and expenditures. And the 4,000 are the materials and supplies, 5,000 services, and it just shows you the activity at this point in time. This is fund child development fund 12. And the same thing, we have a budget, it was revised at first general. We have encumbrances and expenditures and revenue that have come through, and you have positive and negative balances. We'll be updating those as well. And this is the end of the bottom of that. Cafeteria fund, as I showed you last time, the revised budget versus everything else that we budgeted and projected from the beginning of the year to June 30th. Next steps, just to let you know what we're doing, the 24-25 audit of the unaudited actuals and internal controls, there is an extension that, as I had mentioned to you previously, that there may be an extension where there was an extension requested, and the County Office of Ed and the state have approved the extension. And I believe that we're supposed to have it done by the end of this month. I haven't spoken to the auditor, but as soon as I do, I will bring you information. The other auditor will continue to review the compliance part and the accounting and documentation practices, as well as the effective use of public funds. They go through procedures and processes and give us recommendations. But it is a single audit that applies, and that was one of the things that delayed it as well, because we were waiting on the guidance from the government single audits. We continue to evaluate. This is another thing that we're doing in the business office. So I'm continuing to evaluate, review, and apply current processes and procedures with everything that we have here in the business office, when working with the staff and providing training, professional development, and getting them more involved in how the budget works and how their part is so important, because it affects everything, especially when we build a budget, when we maintain a budget, and we close the books. It's so important, the part that each of the members play. Working and updating the business services website is one of the things that I've been wanting to start working on, to put more information regarding the state of affairs, the budget, the LCFF calculator, just to talk a little bit about and be more transparent. It's one of the things that I'll be working on. I'll let you know how that goes. Also, beginning the preparations for second interim, which the 31st of January is what all the activity between July and January 31st is second interim. I get to work on all the adjustments between now and in February, and then in March, you'll receive the report for your review and approval. Continue to true up some carryovers, also beginning balances, which will be based upon the audited actuals ending balances. So as we wait for the audit report to be prepared, the auditors will provide some of these adjustments that I need in order to let you know what the true beginning balances are. And it's something that we've been working on for a while. The extension of the audit delays these adjustments. I was hoping to have it ready for the first interim beginning balances, but now it looks like it may not be ready for second interim. But I will keep you updated and we'll let you know. Recommendations, this is just for me as a CBO, is to wait on the purchasing of major expenditures as you make your decisions to be ticket items that will have a fiscal impact on the budget. Those things, it's just a recommendation until we have second interim, we can see the true estimated balances. And then there was a review letter, I believe that you received it, a review letter from YCOB. It's the letter of the review of the first interim. And some of the things that they list on it, things like cash balances that we need to get a handle on and work on that. Things like deficit spending, as I showed you
have a comment. Super excited about the business services website. Thank you for doing that, and may the force be with you on that. And super excited about the training, even within, so that everybody feels a part of the team, I guess you could say, for lack of better terms, but to know what goes into the district as a whole. I think that's super important, and I think I'm pretty excited about seeing that, and so that they know that their job, how important it is to the overall picture, and to know how important they are to it as well. So thank you for those pieces.
When you say your recommendation is to slow, maybe wait till your next report on the big expenditures, why do you say that?
Because when we reviewed first interim, again, just having been here for 5 months at that time, I don't have all the everything that's in the budget, right? I don't have the full picture yet, though I can tell the big ticket items, the big, I can tell where we may need to start looking first at seeing if
thank you.
And do we know by March, like, is that when we find out intent for retirees and that? So we
yes.
would know what our salaries would be adjusting at that time as well?
Absolutely. Well, we'll know who's going out. They won't adjust till next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be based on the new hires and the offset. By March 15th, they're supposed to be giving their letters of intent to retire. We are putting out our intent to return notices in February this year to try and get a handle on who may or may not be going.
And that's a great question, because part of my multi-year projection included already the savings, the estimated savings of 2 retirees. So if you have 4 retirees, that would be great, because then 2 already are in the budget. I wouldn't be able to add them again, right?
Yeah, gotcha.
So I think that's already the one I'm sure that I say that that's already a projection that I added to the second and third year out.
Okay.
The other thing, some of the items that you will be approving today, I want you to know that the fiscal impact of that, should there be an increase to the budget based on what you're going to approve tonight, that's not reflective of this budget. So that will also be added
Okay, so we are adding this new 2.4. It will be on all future board agendas. We're calling it correspondence. I have put in front of you four different correspondence that we received, so I'm going to go through each one of them. Anna's already talked about a couple of them, so I'm just going to go briefly over a few of them. The notice of intent to operate a charter, that is the first one. So CORE Charter is working with Yuba County Office of Education, and they're looking at putting a charter school out on base. There is no effect to us because it's a high school charter. It's 9 through 12. It looks like it appears to be an aviation style charter, and mostly the students will be working on independent study, but they will have labs and it will be out on base. And so I've let them know that we have Far West School available if they wanted to do, you know, some of their work there. But they are required to bring it to each of the districts surrounding, and the ultimate approval comes from the Yuba County Office of Education. And I don't know what their timeline is. I don't even know that they've turned in their application yet. Their superintendent called me and then he sent the letter. So I'm just bringing it forward to you. There's no response that we need to have at this point. And I'm assuming that the county, when they go through their process, will reach out and see if we have any impacts. But I don't see any impacts for our school district. The second letter is the what Donna explained earlier. It's the first interim letter that came from the county office as well. It's for your reading pleasure. The county is in the letter you'll see the county is satisfied that the first interim reflects our financial status of the district. We will still need to figure out the cash reconciliation, which Anna is currently working on. It is a much bigger project than we ever imagined. We are budgeting a deficit, so we will need to continue to keep our eye on expenses and be careful with any labor negotiations in the next few years. The state is projecting a 2.4% COLA for next year, but we'll know more at the May revise. Anna and I are both attending a government budget workshop next week to hear more about it. Remember, this is just the first look. It's the governor's look at where money's going. He was friendly to education, in my opinion. He could have been friendlier. But overall, I don't see a significant issue with budgeting, but it's just the first part. And for California, taxes are coming in much higher than they expected, which is helpful to our budget. So we will bring you more of that after we go to the governor's budget workshop. We can probably talk about it at the next meeting, but then in the May revise, and then of course they have till June 30th to actually set the state budget. The third is the letter from the state of California that gives us an audit extension. As you remember from the last board meeting, the county, you guys are four parts of this tonight. The county did a letter for us asking for the extension to extend our audit report because the auditor asked for that, and Anna's already explained why. Our auditor will now have, so it has been approved. Our auditor has till January 29th, 2026 to get the audit report to the county and then to the state. If it takes longer than that, then we just have to notify the state through the county, and we are waiting to hear from the auditor on when it will be completed. Once completed, it will go to the county, it will go to the state, and it will come back to you for approval. So there's that. The last one you have is going to take me a while, and I'm going to apologize up front that I will do mostly reading of this because it can get somewhat animated if I don't just stick to my script. So this is a letter that came to our CBO, and you all have it in front of you. What I am going to do is go through the letter almost paragraph by paragraph and respond to each of the items in that. So what I'll start, because the audience does not have the letter, I will read the paragraph, and then I will give you our response to that paragraph. This is no official letter. It is an anonymous letter. We get these often because we are so loved. So I'm going to bring you up to speed on where we are with this, and I'm really doing it because I'm glad we're being recorded, and I want to make sure that those people who throw out these allegations with no factual basis hear what the response is from the district. So, to be honest, when reading this letter earlier this week, I didn't know whether to laugh, cry, or get angry. I chose to laugh because this letter is full of inaccurate information, as are most of the correspondence that we have received from this anonymous group. Our CBO did the right or appropriate thing and shared the letter with me, and I am now sharing it with the board and to the public. I am going to reference statements made in the letter and provide the district's response immediately following. This will be available in the minutes once the meeting is completed and the minutes are approved. If anyone has any questions or comments while I'm going through this, and I apologize, it will take some time, please hold your questions till the end or your comments, and then we can talk about those. Again, I apologize for the length of this report, but I think it's important to get the correct information out there. If letters like this get out there and we do not respond, it makes us sound like we're guilty or that we just don't care, and that's not the case. So, let me start with the first paragraph talks about grants, audit allegations. The letter states that attached you will find information about some grants that are currently being audited. To our knowledge, the audit has not been completed. While one of Wheatland's worst kept secrets for more than a year, you can be sure that very few people who actually need to know this information have been brought into the loop. One of the community donors gave tens of thousands, now sits on the board, and is likely has no idea that funds were misappropriated. Stipends have been paid out of the grant money to multiple district employees who didn't deserve them, especially given they weren't even the original grant writers. Despite providing some pretty incredible opportunities for students, I'm glad they brought that up, the people responsible for these programs have engaged in some questionable activities, thus triggering the audit. It has been reported that some of the grant money was allegedly funneled through Bear River nonprofits, FFA alumni, and Renaissance, which seem to use the same EIN number for tax purposes, and then paid out a few individuals with specific account access to those funds. It is important that you learn more about their involvement because at least one of them, site administrator Gauker, has long been interested in the superintendent position. In fact, if you ask us, she'd be worse than Gensler, if that's even possible. So, district's response. Thank you for sharing your concerns and the attached information regarding our grants. I want to clarify several points, correct misinformation, and provide accurate context regarding district grant funding and the ongoing audit. Grant stipends. Stipends are built into grants at the time they are written, and they are awarded when they're written and when they are awarded. And they are not for specific individuals. They are set up for actual positions, meaning that as staff change roles over time, the stipend may shift to a different person currently serving in that position. The stipends are intended to pay for additional work added to these employees' workload because of this grant. Additionally, I, the superintendent, have never received a stipend from any grant the district has received during my time here. Audit status and background. The audit being referenced here has been ongoing for multiple years. Butte College, which runs this group, previously hired an auditor who found nothing and reported that to Butte County. After that, they decided to hire a different auditor, one they could influence and direct, and who had been previously in efforts targeting Sutter County schools. It took at least 2 years for the second auditor to compile their findings. We worked very hard getting them the information they requested. Unfortunately, those findings were never sent to us at the district, which is required by law. The district later received a letter from Butte College regarding the report and the district responded in September of 2025 with documentation addressing the multiple discrepancies in their letter. No further communication or results have been provided since September 2025, and to our knowledge, the audit has not concluded. I did bring this up to the board back when it happened, so you are aware that we went through that audit. I know I'm veering off of my written, but it is something that we have been working on for years, and we are targeted for reasons that I'm aware of, but it doesn't match up. We provided every bit of information. Ange runs most of these grants, and she's like Tara, they have binders full because none of them want to go to jail. And so they keep everything together and show exactly how we match grants, exactly where the money, and there is no possible way that money can go from a grant that comes to the district, move it over to Renaissance or FFA, and then write checks out of that. It is not possible. So again, that allegation of being, well, I'm on to my next one. Allegations of funds being funneled. You need to stop me when I got on the tangent. claims that grant money is funneled through Bear River nonprofits, including FFA alumni and Renaissance, and then paid out to individuals who have account access are simply not true. Also, the community members that gave money to the programs, we want to know, it's much appreciated, but please know that the money given never goes to staff to pay for any stipends. It goes to the students and the program. So again, this is false, a false statement in their letter, and if they have proof that money is being funneled, I would ask that they provide it. Comments about staffing and leadership. The statement suggests that Mrs. Gauker would be worse as a superintendent than Mr. Gensler, if that's possible, does not merit a response, given the fact that it's just an attack on us with no facts. However, I will say that Mrs. Gauker has not sought out the superintendent position over the 16 years that I have been here. I personally hope she might be willing to serve in that capacity and go through the process, if that's in the best interest of the districts, and following my retirement, June 30th, 2026. Grand jury complaint, nepotism allegations. The letter states, it is likely you have discovered by now that contracts favored to very particular conditions for specific few and generous pay benefits have brought loyalty in certain circles for the better part of the last 7 to 10 years. Nepotism and favoritism have been common practice. Below highlights what we have submitted to the Yuba County Grand Jury as a formal complaint. We filed this complaint after receiving advice to do so from a retired judge, as well as multiple retired and current superintendents. The grand jury will, of course, determine the scope of the investigation, but we wanted to inform you of the existence of our complaint on the chance they have not contacted you and you want to reach out to them on your own. Our complaint cited more than 40 violations of Ed Code, Brown Act, CCR, CalPERS, STRS policies, board policies, etc. So before I read mine, I'm gonna go on a little bit of a tangent, sorry. They've talked to multiple retired and current superintendents. They've never talked to me. As far as I know, they've never talked to Mr. Greger, the superintendent of the county. So I don't know who they're talking to, but they're not getting the information from the people that have the information. So thank you for informing us that you have submitted a formal complaint to the Yuba County Grand Jury. Was it anonymous? We understand you believe contracts, compensation, favoritism, and alleged violations of various laws and policies warrant investigation. That said, we want to provide the following clarification and context. Employment of family members / nepotism claims. Wheatland is a small community and the school district is the largest employer in town. As a result, it is not unusual for multiple family members to work in the district and has long been the case. The same is present at Wheatland High School and Plumas Lake. We currently have married couples, children of employees, cousins, and other relatives working here. This is a reality of a small town and does not by itself indicate any wrongdoing. Many people apply to work here and remain employed because of the positive working environment and the competitive pay and benefits the district provides. If the district were as dysfunctional as this group has suggested, it would be reasonable to ask yourself why people continue to apply and choose to stay. Grand jury complaint. Regarding your report to the grand jury, we have no concerns about any complaint filed and can back up any accusations with facts. The district is an open book and will cooperate fully if we are contacted. You have made other complaints to the state, et cetera, and each time we have responded to these allegations. However, it's my understanding, the grand jury will not investigate anonymous complaints. At this point, we have not received any communication from the grand jury, but if we do, we will respond promptly and with transparency to any concerns raised, especially given the many, that many of the accusations being circulated are false and fabricated. Board benefits. Here we go again. Letter states, board members receive a more generous benefit package than teachers and staff. They receive more in benefits in 1 year than some of our paraprofessionals who aren't allowed to work enough hours to receive benefits are spending 5.5 hours a day or 5 hours per week ever will. The benefits have caused the board to be self-motivated and driven by selfish reasons. For years, the board has been composed of local ranchers and business owners who ran for their position so they could have access to health benefits. Primarily, their allegiance is to themselves and to the superintendent, supporting him and keeping him happy so he has been the one controlling the purse strings. The board members with family members, spouses, who are employees have been especially loyal. They should be embarrassed by their conduct and for allowing things to get this far, and more needs to be done to expose their lack of action and accountability over the years. My response. Thank you for raising these concerns yet again regarding board benefits. While we understand the frustration expressed in your statement, several key claims need clarification and context. Board member benefits. Board member benefits have been part of the Wheatland School District for some 40 years, and they predate my employment as well as any sitting board member. In fact, prior to my arrival, there was no cap on board